Before we start our scripture lesson this morning, I do want to say a special thank you to the session for asking me to speak today. God has laid a message on my heart that I've been dealing with for quite some time since this was first mentioned to me. And I pray that through all my ramblings this morning, that He will be heard and the words that He wants heard will be heard. Regardless of what I say, I pray that His words will be what is heard loud and clear. So again, I appreciate that opportunity, and you'll notice some things have changed around just a little bit this morning for this, but I hope you won't mind that. If you would go with me to God's Word in the Gospel of Matthew, in the Pew Bible, this starts on page 1457. Page 1457. Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 24, and then 7, 7 through 12, and 7, 15 through 27. Listen to God's Word. Christ Himself speaking here. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Moving to chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Moving to verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. May God add His understanding to the reading and hearing of His most holy and sacred word. Let us pray. Father God, I pray that that which I say this morning will be according to your will, and that you will be heard well above and beyond anything that I will say. In thy precious and most holy name, amen. I hope you had a chance in the bulletin to notice the topic, leftovers. I'm not going to have anything else to say about that. This sounded good for, you know, right after Thanksgiving to talk about leftovers. So I'll start with this question this morning as we ponder that. How many of you have had the chance to enjoy some leftovers during the last few days? And let's take a quick little poll here. How many of you have had a chance to enjoy some leftovers? Okay, I thought so. I kind of thought that's what I'd see. And I dare say that most all of us have, and they were quite good. And some of us may be going to get to enjoy some of those for Sunday lunch today. But we are, to be honest about it, most of us are probably very quickly reaching the point where we are ready for something else besides turkey and dressing. It's good stuff, but maybe we're ready for a little something else within the next few days anyway. This term leftovers brings up another very important question for us to ponder this morning as we think about our relationship with God. Am I only giving God what's left over in my service to Him? I want you to ponder that just a little bit. Am I only giving God what's left over in my service to Him? Now, even as I ask that question, and I'm not going to ask you which one of these this fits, but even as I ask that question, and in light of the scripture passage we just read today, I can almost hear some of you saying, now, Tony, we gave our commitment cards last Sunday, so we don't need a sermon about money today. We know that we should tithe. My response to that would be, the leftovers we're talking about today are more about the condition of the heart than they are about money. Although what we do with our money speaks volumes about our relationship and our service to God. Consider this question. Why do so many people believe that they should take care of their other bills, financial obligations, and personal desires before giving any consideration to what they should give to the church and to God's work? And then they want to be, quote, biblical, so they feel they only need to give 10% of that which is left over after their bills, financial obligations, and desires have all been satisfied. That's their definition of a tithe. These people just do not seem to understand that our money and all our possessions are actually God's anyway. They just don't get the fact that He has given them to us so that we can practice good stewardship. As Christ pointed out in our scripture lesson, our first loyalty should be to those things that do not fade, cannot be stolen or used up, and never wear out. We should not be fascinated with our possessions. At least they possess us. Let me say that again. We should not be fascinated with our possessions, lest they possess us. We were also just reminded in our scripture passage in Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, about storing up treasures in heaven. Whatever you store up, you will spend much of your time and energy thinking about. So we must all stop this morning and give some very serious consideration to our treasures that we are storing up. Is God pleased with these treasures and the priority that they have in my life? And again, this is much bigger than money. Much bigger than money. Are these treasures causing me to only give God what's left over? What do these treasures say to others about my relationship with God? In other words, do these treasures help or hinder my witness for Him? Storing up treasures in heaven is not limited to tithing, but is accomplished by all, I repeat, all acts of obedience to God. Our intention should always be to seek the fulfillment of God's purpose in all that we do. And you know, just a little side note there. So many times we get sidetracked, and we don't want to think about our daily routine or our daily work or in the workplace or in school, wherever it would be. We so many times don't want to think about, well, we need to be sure that we are fulfilling God's purpose there too. We have to remind ourselves of that, that it's much more than an obligation just on Sunday on the weekend. But it's all the time. Whenever others see us, they should see God in us. Spiritual vision is our capacity to see clearly what God wants us to do and to see the world from His point of view. But this spiritual vision can easily be clouded by our very own self-serving desires, self-serving interests, and self-serving goals. The only way to clear up this cloud is to stop giving God only what's left over in our lives and to start truly putting God first by giving Him the first fruits of all that we have. He wants you. He wants all of you. And underline that word all, capitalize that word all, put quotations around that word all. He wants every piece of you. Everything about you is His. He wants all of you, not what's left over of you. Don't wait until the end of the day when you are tired, worn out, and sleepy to have your first conversation with God. Instead, start your day with Him when you are fresh, and you'll be amazed how He will make you vibrant and eager for the challenges that lie ahead. Now, we all know that He does not promise a non-stressful day, but He does promise to be there with us throughout the entire day. We read thread all the way through His Word. His promise is there. Our feet should not touch the floor each morning until His hands have touched us through prayer and Scripture. Our feet should not touch the floor until His hands have touched us through prayer and Scripture in equipping us for the day. Now, please don't misunderstand what I just said. I did not say that studying God's Word and praying at the end of the day is wrong or bad. In fact, everything is right about it. What I'm saying is, don't let the end of the day be the first time that you and God are having a conversation. We might just drift off to the sleep while He's still talking. And we need to be attentive. We need to be ready to listen. Jesus reminds us in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, that we must be persistent as we pursue God. People often give up after a few half-hearted efforts and conclude that God cannot be found. We hear statements like, you know, nobody knows what I'm going through. Even heard this one that, you know, God doesn't really understand what I'm dealing with. What? Truly knowing God takes faith, focus, and follow through, not leftovers. We must continue to ask Him in His will for more knowledge, more patience, wisdom, love, and understanding. As we do this and we ask these things in His will, our relationship to Christ will be enhanced. As we get to know more about Him and understand more about Him, He just reveals more and more of Himself to us. The very words of Christ, as recorded in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, tell us, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open." Those aren't my words. Those are the words of Christ. The words of Christ. A promise from Christ. A promise that can be ours. In the latter part of our scripture passage today, Christ reminds us that everyone who talks about heaven, not everyone who talks about heaven belongs to His kingdom. Sadly, all of us may know someone who can talk a lot about Christ and about heaven and related topics. But what puzzles us, even when we hear all that verbiage coming from their mouths, there is absolutely no evidence in their lives that they truly believe what they are saying. This is especially noticeable when things start going wrong in life and don't go as planned for these folks. Jesus is more concerned about our walk than our talk. We can only withstand the storms of life if we truly believe and accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We can't do it on our own. We will crumble. We'll crash and burn. Jesus warns us to beware of those whose words sound religious, but who are motivated by money, fame, and power. If we listen and look carefully in God's name, we will be able to recognize them because they minimize Christ and glorify themselves. They want the spotlight to shine on them. It's a, hey, look at me. Hey, look what I've done attitude. Never hearing the word of God mentioned. On the day of judgment, only our relationship with Christ, our acceptance of Him as personal Lord and Savior, and our obedience to Him will matter. Many people have the mistaken idea that if they are good people and say enough religious things, they will be rewarded with eternal life with Christ. Plain and simply, this is one of the biggest lies ever planted by Satan. None of us could ever be good enough to make it, regardless of what we did. We are sinful creatures. None of us could ever be good enough to make it on our own. Instead, it's all about God's wonderful and magnificent grace through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, and our faith and our trust in Him each and every day. Not just when we think we need Him, but each and every day in everything that we do. The good days and the bad days. That helps us know without a shadow of a doubt that our eternity is secure with Him. This is true joy. And this is true peace that will be made complete when we hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." To have that peace right now, we have to understand who should be in control of our lives. And it's not me. It's not us. But it's about Him in all that we do, in everything that we do. I want you to listen now as the choir sings about this joy and this peace. The words are printed on an insert in your bulletin, so I want you to get those out and follow along as the choir sings of this wonderful promise. Listen and follow along. Listen to what this song says. Listen to what should be ours. Focus on His message through this song this morning.
We will know.
Did you hear the promise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in that song? There will be a time faith will be made sight. We'll know without a doubt all we hoped and dared to dream. We will know that forever, forever, sin has been defeated. We will see the face of Jesus and lay crowns before His feet. We will live through all the ages because death will be no more. For eternity, we will be worshiping the Lord. I could almost get excited as we hear that this morning. Praise God for that wonderful message and that wonderful reminder. Folks, that's the reason that we must daily give God all of us and not just what's left over of us. It's about how we will spend eternity. It's about eternal life. Everyday things happen to all of us. Trials, tribulations, illness, death, you name it. We could go around the room this morning, and each of us has a story. In God's name, we must learn to live each day with an attitude of, even if He took it all away, we would still praise His name. God, and only God, gives us the strength to do just that. There's no way we can do this of our own accord. For our song of dedication today, I want to play a song sung by the group Crossway entitled, Took It All Away. This song puts into words this attitude we were just talking about. Again, you have the words of this song printed on an insert in your bulletin. Please follow along as this song plays. But here's something else I've got to say. While this song plays, I want to open this altar up to any that would like to come forward and pray. Maybe you have finally accepted Christ into your life after so long of denying Him a place in your life. Maybe you just want to rededicate your life to Him and pledge that you will give Him more than what's left over in your service to Him. Whatever the reason, if you feel led to come to this altar and pray as this song plays, please do so. Please follow along with the words as the song plays.
From the ashes of my despair.
that are here. Take as long as you need. You and the Lord talk. Lord, with your strength, I will stand and declare, if you took it all away, every gift you ever gave, and if you never blessed again, but gave another trial instead, I would stand and praise your holy name if you took it all away. If we strive to live with this attitude each and every day, think how different our lives would be and will be. Think how different our witness will be. We will truly be giving God the full platter of us instead of just the leftovers. May we strive to do that each and every day in everything that we do. Amen. Please stand for the closing prayer. You folks stay right where you are. You're fine. Father God, we just praise your great and holy name. We just pray, dear Father God, that we may strive to have this attitude in our lives every day. That indeed, if you took it all away, no, we would not want that. But Lord, if you did, we could still rise up and praise your great and holy name. Because, Father, you are sovereign. You are in charge. You are God. Father God, we thank you for your promises. And we claim those promises this morning. And we pray, dear Father, that each and every one of us will stop giving you the leftovers and give you the full platter of us. The full platter of us given to you, Lord, we pray. That precious and most holy name. Amen.